Welcome, Lund loyalists, YouTubers watching on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective, those watching on X and Instagram and listening on Apple and Spotify. It's John Lund Unleashed and johnlundunleashed.com. Brought to you by Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Right now featuring amazing stem cell technology. For all your pain and for the guys, check out the latest in low T and testosterone therapy to make you feel like yourself again. Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center at riopelcosmetic.com. Now, all juiced up and ready to go. Here's Johnny.
Yes, there you go. There's John Lynch. He speaks today, and we'll be down there, which is, we're doing a bit of a short show today just because I've got to be down at 49ers HQ late this morning. John Lynch will speak at noon, select players, because I guess this is the first of the OTAs, but they're just gathering, shaking hands, kissing babies, getting information, not work on the field. And the question will be, will Brock be there? Will Kittle be there? I doubt it. We'll see. Some other guys probably won't be there as well. I doubt we see Fred Warner. Some of those stars don't need to be there right now, and I'm not panicking over it, so we'll discuss. The reason why I have Mason Graham up there from Michigan is there's a word, maybe Todd McShay, I think, is throwing it out there that he could drop to 11. That would be a dream scenario for the 49ers. I think that guy's really good, but because teams get enamored with everything physical around draft time, which is the whole reason that Brock Purdy drops to 262, he could drop there according to some, and that, like I said, would be a dream scenario for the 49ers. We got a ton of stuff to get to, not a lot of time to get there because, like I said, I got to get on the road, head off to Santa Clara. I'll be down talking to John Lynch and some of the players, and I will post all that stuff. So first and foremost, before we get to the chalkboard, before we get out to the chat line and welcome everybody and do roll call, welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 122. You could be watching on YouTube, John Lund Unleashed, Bay Area Sports Collective. If you're watching on X, thank you very much, as I'm watching that room fill up, at John Lund Radio. Also on Instagram, if you're watching on Instagram, welcome, at John Lund Radio. Facebook as well, John Lund, my personal page, or John Lund Unleashed, LinkedIn as well. So any of those places, thank you for tuning in. We'll get a ton of stuff from 49ers HQ today. So here's what I would do if I were you. Please make sure you have those alerts on, because I will be posting shorts and a long version of John Lynch. So stay tuned for that. I don't know what players will be available, but there will be some. So I'll get that for you as well. So we'll have a ton of content from the 49ers. John Lynch speaks for the final time before the 2025 NFL draft on Thursday from Green Bay, and we'll have coverage for that for you on that as well. So make sure that you have those alerts on today, that you are subscribed to John Lund Unleashed, that you are subscribed to Bay Area Sports Collective, both on YouTube. And then you can hang out on the chat as well. So great stuff today as I show you the show cover there. There's Brock, there's Mason Graham. There in the bottom is Hayden Birdsong. You know my love and affinity for Hayden Birdsong, so we'll get into that conversation as well. I also mentioned my good friends at Riopel, Riopel Sports Medicine, as you can see right there. Check it out. And you can see right in the bottom there, stem cell treatment. That's what my wife is having done from Riopel Sports Medicine. And that's the place to go. She is feeling great. Shoulder is great. Elbow is great. Foot is great. Maybe you've had that blood spinning before, but it is all about that stem cell. Stem cell is going to make you feel a ton better. And I told you this. Bartolo Colon did it on him. He was one of the first people, one of the first doctors in California to do stem cell. So make sure that you check that out with Dr. Riopel and Riopel Sports Medicine. You are going to feel amazing. Just see Dr. Riopel. He's in San Ramon. If you're in the East Bay, great. If you're not, I'm telling you, it's worth the drive. We've been clients with Dr. Riopel for years and years and years. Been feeling great with my wife who's been doing it. I've been doing it. I've been doing the low T and testosterone, which I feel amazing, which I'm up for here shortly. Just do a quick blood test, and then Dr. Riopel will give you the exact amount, not going crazy. It's not anything like that. And you're going to feel like your old self again. Metabolism goes faster. Your personality comes back. You just feel better. You have more energy. And that's what low T is all about. And it is so simple. He makes it so simple. Quick blood test. And then they do a short procedure that's going to last for like 4 months at a time. So you only have to do it a few times a year and you'll feel like yourself again. So Dr. Riopel, Riopel Sports Medicine, make sure that you check him out. There's Dr. Riopel right there. Make sure that you check them out. They're in San Ramon. And like I said, East Bay, you're right there. If you're not totally worth the drive, tell them I sent you over. Dr. Riopel is the best. All right, let's get to everything before roll call. Here's the chalkboard today. And I got a lot of great stuff for you today. John Lynch speaks, as I said, I'll have that for you. First OTAs, not on the field, just kind of gathering together again. People are going to make a big deal if Brock isn't there, George Kittle isn't there. They're working on deals. This is the way the offseason works. I think we are all nervous because of what happened last year with Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk. That's not going to happen this year. Brock wants to get it done. Niners want to get it done. It will get done. It gets clicks and people to talk and everything. So the local media especially is going to make a bigger deal than it is. It is not deadline day today. Deadlines spur action. We are not at deadlines for Brock Purdy. He does not have to be here right now. I think that it is. It would be great if he were because he's the leader of the football team, but you got to work out a contract. I'm not panicked at all. There are those who do this, and that's what they do. They make Niner fans panic. Those people today are going to make wild statements and stupid things, and that's okay. They'll get clicks, and that's what they do. But reality of the situation is it's not a big deal yet, and I'll emphasize yet, but it's not. No matter what you read, no matter what anybody says, it is not a big panic time yet. So we'll see what those guys do. I doubt they're going to be here today. Mason Graham, this mainly comes from Todd McShay, so I'll get into that in a minute. 49ers trades, I popped that up yesterday, and then we heard yesterday that the Niners would be interested in said trades, and it makes a lot of sense. I'll explain more of that. This really cool thing that I went down a rabbit hole on, there's this guy that's a friend of mine. His name is Rick Goslin. He writes for the Dallas Morning News, has for years and years and years and years and years. And a lot of people outside of Mel Kiper, who is seen as maybe the godfather media-wise of the draft, Rick Goslin's been covering this stuff forever, and he did one of the coolest things that I've seen if you're a draft dork like me, which is he did the all-time from 1 to 265, the best picks in the history of the draft at each number, at each pick. So, for example, you have Ronnie Lott at number 8 as the best number 8 pick of all time, and I wasn't going to put all of these up on there, and I really didn't. The Niners, by the way, had the most picks, great picks, all-time picks, than any other team, and I'm going to pop some of them up on the board. It's just fun to do. So all-time draft. The Giants win. Hayden Birdsong was great. Flores, Lee, so the same old guys who've been doing it offensively, but Birdsong especially, I got to get into that conversation. What makes Hicks start today really important as we go down the chalkboard? Not a lot of news on the Warriors, but we'll mention them because it's a big deal. The Dallas GM, Nico Harrison, could not be, I got to be honest, more dumb. More stupid and not understanding the market, which you have to do. You have to understand your fan base. I told you what was going to happen when Luka got traded. I told you the very next day. And for this guy to not be dialed into that is unforgivable. I'd fire the guy. The NBA poll is out of the players. There's a couple that involve the Warriors. I'll get into that random stuff. We may not have time for a caboose today because, like I said, I got to jump and get down to 49ers HQ so I can give you the insight into the 49ers draft. So that's what's going on today on a Tuesday edition of the show. Let me say hello to everybody and good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. But look at that. Look at the people in here today. Very nice. Very impressive. Skills is here today. Skills, I got your email yesterday. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Tacky, good morning to you. Colin, nice to see you, man. Let's see. Jazz fan is up and early today. That is awesome. Thank you very much. Daniel is here today. Hurley Bird, good morning. Vernon, hello to you, Vernon. Francis is here today. Enrique Scott, good morning. Good morning. Joy, I'll get to more of these comments after I get through everything. Rockin' New Era 84 is here. Good morning. These are all people that are in the chat when we've put together a great community on YouTube. So if you want to jump in here, it'd be awesome. Taylor, good morning to you. If you've not been in the chat before, please say hello to us so that we can acknowledge you. Great chat room, great people that are here. Fiend, it is good to see you. Jake, Nathan, great to see you, my friend. I got a, I think I got a comment from you yesterday. I really appreciate it. Mark, good morning, good morning, good morning to you. Bebop Jones, what's going on, man? Yeah, nice splash there. That was very nice. I love the avatar, as I've said before. What else do we got? That's it for now. We'll say good morning to everybody as you come in. Please say good morning to everybody. Really appreciate it. As we always say, please subscribe to John Lund Unleashed. Have those likes. That really helps the algorithm find us. So please hit that like button on the show right now if you would. And don't leave us, though. And if you are watching on any other platform like Facebook or X or Instagram, please come over to the YouTube page. Make sure that you give us a subscribe, a like, and keep those alerts on because, like I said, today, go down to 49ers HQ. And I'm going to have a lot of stuff for you that I'm going to post up from the players, coaches, whoever I can get a hold of. And John Lynch in his press conference, and he'll talk about the draft. Probably lie. A lot of people will take that as gospel and truth, and they will print that and say, this is what John Lynch said. Why would he tell us anything 2 days before the draft? Just letting you know, just a little bit of insight. John Lynch said this, John Lynch said that. He loves his offensive line, loves this, loves that. Remember at the end of the year press conference when he said he wasn't in the business of letting good players like Debo go? They did. So it's lying season, and it's not John Lynch's fault. It's just what happens. It's lying season. I'm just letting you know. All right. Top of the thing there, John Lynch speaks. I'll give you more. OTAs, I've mentioned this briefly. Brock and Kittle and Warner, I don't expect those guys to be there. This is not on-field work. This is just gathering. Hello. Here's a new playbook. This, that, the other. Good to see everybody. Blah, 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 blah. This is not the deadline for Brock Purdy to be there. Everyone's panicking because they don't know better. The reality is that, as I said, deadlines spur action. So we're not at a deadline. So there's not going to be action. There's not a game till September. It'd be nice if he were in by the third version of OTAs. That would be really, really nice. And that's probably when he's going to be in. So I understand that that is not conducive to the most clicks that I could possibly get. And what I should be doing is saying, oh, my God. Ah, Brock's not in. Oh, no, the season's over. It's just like Ayuk. And it's just like Trent Williams. And, oh, this is never going to – oh, they're going to have another season. What are they thinking? They're so stupid. Ah. That's what would be conducive to clicks. But I won't do that to you because it's just not the deadline yet. It's not. So whatever. People can freak out and people can yell and people can scream. Reality is deadlines spur actions and we're not at the deadline. So I think they're having productive talks. That's what I've been told. And they're going to get this thing done. It's just going to take time because it does. And oh, by the way, wouldn't you want to just make sure on both ends when you're talking about this many millions of dollars? Yes. And there's fine print. And I think they're close in terms of the number. Everybody is freaking out saying they're not close on the number. I think they are close on the number. There's a lot of details. When you get the money, how you get the money, what's guaranteed, all these different intricacies. It's not as simple as, I wrote a few weeks ago or maybe a month ago by now at johnlundunleashed.com. Here's what I think the deal is going to be. And I do. Everybody's getting 5 years. I think it's going to be around 290. The Niners don't want it to be 300 for optics, which is 60 a year. It'll be just under that. And it'll be between 55 and 60, but it's not as simple as that. Okay, why isn't the deal done? Well, there's all sorts of guarantees and numbers and guaranteed at signings and blah, 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 blahs. And so, and it's not about the overall number. There's a bunch of dumb, funny money in there and those kind of things. So the contract is more complicated than, here's $55 million a year and it's a 5-year deal. And it's more complicated than that. I mean, you're talking that kind of money when you're talking how it changes the franchise when you're the 49ers, even though Puka Nacua doesn't know what he's talking about. Every team has a quarterback that's winning Super Bowls that are making $50, $60 million, that are making a ton of money. And the last time I checked, Patrick Mahomes is making a lot of money. Jalen Hurts just won the Super Bowl. He's making a lot of money. Teams make it work. That's why the 49ers had to pull back a little bit here. So they've got to figure it out. They've got to have a hell of a draft, and that's why I'm excited to go talk to John Lynch today. So that's what's going on. Kittle's deal, it sounds like they're not close. That's going to get done too. As far as the Mason Graham thing, let me see if I don't know if I put the if I got a thing. It doesn't really matter here as far as Todd McShay is concerned. Oh, Graham to the 49ers. This is the reason I'm talking about this. It's Todd McShay. New show is here. Projecting the top 10 picks, how Mason Graham could fall to the 49ers, blah, 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 blah. The reason why I popped that up there, I don't go with every rumor, as you well know, that I see. But the way that the NFL draft works, the reason why teams hit on second, third, fourth rounders is what they stop looking at the combine as much and the watches and the physicality. And I'm not saying they ignore that because they don't. But what I mean is that to justify a first round pick a lot of times, and I know that this shouldn't happen, you have to look at it and you say, as a general manager to defend yourself or cover your ass, CYA, God, we drafted that guy and he was an edge rusher and he was 6'5", 265 and he ran a 4.5 40 and he did this and he repped that and God, and combined that with the tape. And it was his fault. They get too much into cover their ass mode in the first round. And so what happens is they don't look as much. I know this is crazy, but they don't look as much at the tape and they don't look at football players. And they look at stopwatches and they look at the combine and they look at guys in shorts and they forget about the tape. Not always, but happen after the first round. And I don't know why this is a mentality. They draft football players. It's as simple as that. The first round, I tell you this all the time, it's a 50-50 shot in the first round. And then it just goes down from there. So the draft is not easy. It's really difficult. But what makes it more difficult in the first round is teams fall in love with physical freaks. And they overdraft those freaks and they don't look at the tape as much. And then after the first round, for some weird reason, they go back to here's a good football player. Mason Graham's a great football player from Michigan. but he doesn't blow you away from a physical standpoint. But if you put on the tape, he sheds blocks, he stays low, he's got great technique, he's a monster, he's a former wrestler. He's all these things that you want to defend in a defensive tackle, but he's not going to, you know, he's not Shamar Stewart, or he's not Michael Williams, or he's not, you know, there's all these guys that are running 4.3s or 4.5s, or like he's the anti Shamar Stewart. Stewart's a guy, and I'm going to pop him up on the screen really quickly just because, you know, this is a guy, I love this guy. I mean, look at him. He's 6'4", 270 pounds. All right, 6'5", 270. It says 6'5", 267, but he's 6'5", 270. And he runs a 4.59. You see that? And so you fall in love with that. And somebody's going to draft that guy. And he might be really, really good. But you see his production score at 64. He had like 3 sacks the last 3 seasons. His score as far as his athleticism is an 84. It's one of the top numbers. His production is one of the lower numbers. But someone's going to take him. And you know what? He might be great. He might be great. He's a physical freak. But he hasn't put it together on the field. The production has not been there, but he's a physical freak. And you look at him in the first round and you can't resist. He should be a second round pick. That's when you take the risk, but somebody's going to take the risk. And hell, it might be the Niners at number 11. But they look at that physical freak and they say, Chris Kocurek can bring it at him. 6'5", 270. Can set an edge on the defensive side. Is an absolute terror. Could be. Rushing the passer. Has all the traits that you would need. Long arms. Fast. Look at that 1.58, 10-yard split. All these different things for Shamar Stewart. But the tape says he's just not getting to the quarterback by like a half a step. And what's going on? Well, the Niners or somebody along the line, Chris Kocurek or somebody's going to go, you know what? We can make that extra half step that he's not getting there. We can teach him to do it because he's a physical freak and we're going to take him. That's what happens in the first round. Meanwhile, a guy like Mason Graham, who has proven it, but doesn't have the physical freakness of Shamar Stewart, might get passed over. Now, the key in part of the draft with a guy like that is that Jacksonville's at 5 and they do freaky things. So a lot of people have projected Graham to the Jacksonville. He just doesn't feel like a Jacksonville pick. They take more risks. Now they have a new GM in there. It's not Trent Baalke. Never met an ACL I didn't like. It's not him. So maybe they go in a different direction. They do solid players. They do take solid players. You know, New England could take him at 4. Jacksonville could take him at 5. If Genty is gone by Jacksonville at 5, then the Raiders could take him at 6. But if he starts to slide a little bit in that range, and all of a sudden, you know, the Panthers at 8, they could take him. New Orleans at 9. If Sanders gets to 9, I think they'll take Shedeur Sanders there. That's becoming apparent. The Bears are a bit of a wild card. They're going to go either offensive line, it sounds like, because they fixed their interior of the offensive line. Their left tackle is a free agent after this season, Braxton Jones. A lot of people have projected maybe the tackles, one of the tackles there, which would hurt the 49ers. But anyway, long story short is all of a sudden Mason Graham could be sitting there at 11. It's 4, 5, and 6 that are key points for him. Maybe, or maybe somebody says, look, this guy's too good of a football player and he doesn't slide. But I could see it because he's not a physical freak. And if the Niners are sitting there at 11 and that guy's on the board, Mason Graham, I couldn't get to the draft card up fast enough. Not even know if they do draft cards anymore. I don't think they do. Technology has taken over. I'd love an offensive lineman because there's not a lot of depth along the offensive line. There's a lot of depth along the defensive line. But if that guy's there, he's just too good to pass up. So anyway, there's one thought, Mason Graham. 49ers trade. Now, I popped this up yesterday, and I'm going to do it again because there's word out, and we're going to get confirmation or denial, which it doesn't matter to me, what John Lynch says about trades. They're in the market because it's just not realistic to think that John Lynch and company are going to be able to pull off all that they need just in the draft. It just doesn't make any sense. They're not going to get that many guys who are going to be able to come in and play right away of their needs. They need 3 defensive linemen. They need a linebacker. They need, a free safety. I think they need another corner. They need an offensive tackle or guard and maybe center. I think they need a backup running back. Grundle's not quite ready, I don't think, to be number 2. They might need a wide receiver who's mature and could come in and play right away. They could use a second tight end. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they could possibly need, and they're not going to get it all through the draft. So as you look right there, and I popped this up yesterday, these are guys potentially, and I've red marked some of these guys, who could be available, especially for the Giants. Thibodeau, for example, who would be up for a big contract after this year, but you'd worry about that then. They could take Abdul Carter at 3 because it looks like right now, Cam Ward's going 1, Travis Hunter's going 2 to the Browns, and then 3, the Giants, are they going to take Shedeur Sanders? I don't think that high. But let's say they take Abdul Carter. Now you're sitting there with Abdul Carter and Brian Burns, and Thibodeau doesn't fit. Would you go get him for a mid-round pick? I would. I told you Hyatt hasn't really done a lot with the Giants. I would like that. Tyree Wilson is a freak physically. The Raiders took him at 7. I told you about physical freaks. Hasn't worked out. Edge guy, you wouldn't have to give up a lot. Odafe Owe of the Ravens has 3 of his 4 seasons as double-digit sacks. You'd have to give him probably money before you got him, so I don't know if that would happen. But the point is that you're not going to be able to just do this through the draft. And word is that John Lynch is open to doing some trading, especially with their 11 picks. So I would not be surprised whatsoever if they even moved down from 11, got an extra pick or two, and used some of those extra picks to potentially bring in some veteran guys who might be available from some other teams who haven't gotten paid yet, and they take a year to evaluate whether those players could be paid or not. 3 of those 4 guys that I've red marked there are defensive or edge guys, which I wouldn't mind. Thibodeau is there. Wilson is there. Owe is there. Owe is the most accomplished of the 3, but Thibodeau, to me, who's a West Coast guy, would really fit opposite Nick Bosa. And I know that he's a bit off the field, but still. The other guys that are there, I'm not a huge fan of Pickens. He's a mess. I don't think they would pick him up. But anyway, point is that there could be some potential for the 49ers to make a trade or 2 during this draft, because they know that you're not going to be able to get 6 or 7 starters out of this draft. It's just not realistic. Could you get 3 or 4, especially as rookies? We're talking about guys who need to come in and play right away, which to me may alter their draft strategy. You know, are you going to take a chance at 11 on a guy like Williams from Georgia, the edge, who needs a couple of years potentially to reach his potential? Or are you going to grab a guy, and I don't know that Jalen Walker is going to be on the board, but like that's a guy that I think can play right away. I think there's some guys like that. As I mentioned, Shamar Stewart might be a year away. Do you have the patience? Do you have guys that can play if he's only a part-time guy to start the year? I don't know if you can go high upside guy. Or are you going to go a guy? That's why Mason Graham, man, if he's sitting there at 11, you plug him in, he's playing 17 games. I mean, that's just how it is. So anyway, there's the latest on that. The all-time draft, I go down this rabbit hole, right? This all-time draft thing is really interesting to me because, so here's what happened. Rick Goslin, let me re-explain this. Rick Goslin, Dallas Morning News for many, 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 many years. And for a lot of people around the NFL, he, not Mel Kiper Jr. or any of these other people, he's kind of the godfather of the draft. So he's been writing all these things for years. You may not have ever heard of him, but he did this thing that was really cool. And maybe you don't think it's cool, but I do. And what it was is the all-time draft at each position. So for example, the number one overall pick of all time, the best number one overall pick in his mind is Peyton Manning. And he went through why. So he does this at every draft position from 1 to 265. And I'm not going to show you all the Niners picks, but the Niners had the most all-time picks, best all-time picks at their draft positions of all time. So for example, let me give you an example here. The best pick at number 8 all-time in the history of the NFL draft, according to Rick Goslin, is Ronnie Lott. As you can see right there, 14 season, 192 games. That's what that means, 14, 192. So 14 seasons, 192 games. Hall of Fame, 100th anniversary team, 2-time all-decade, 10 Pro Bowls, 4 Super Bowl rings. My God. 2 NFL interception champions, 63 career interceptions, 8th all-time. Runner-up, Jim Parker, 1957. What's great about Rick Goslin is, and what's, I'm not going to say wrong with our media right now, is we just don't go back far enough. And I know you may not have ever heard of Jim Parker, but he goes through all of them. Like our sports right now are Johnny Come Lately. Is this guy the best? Is that guy the best? Did we have sports before 1980? So it's really cool that he goes through all of them. So Ronnie Lott's the best 8 pick, for example. Jerry Rice is the best 16 pick. He has Troy Polamalu as the backup. So you can see that. Jerry, the best 16. Best pick at 49, Roger Craig. How about that? It's such a crime he's not in the Hall of Fame. It's such a freaking joke. 11, 165, 11 seasons, 165 games, all decade, 4 Pro Bowls, 3 Super Bowl rings, 85 receiving champion, first with 1,000. Pro Bowl, fullback, and halfback, DeSean Jackson, the backup. Not a lot of greats at 49. DeSean Jackson's okay. Best pick. This is an awesome pick. Best 60 at 65 overall. Look at that. 16 season, 241 games, 5 Pro Bowls, 06 rushing champ, 16,000 career yards. The runner-up is Carlton Williamson at 81. Dwight Hicks and the Hot Licks. And they took Lott and Williamson in the same draft and Eric Wright. So, I mean, just an amazing draft there. But there you go. Carlton Williamson is a backup, but Frank Gore is the best 65. You get the idea here. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. I didn't do all of them, but just a lot of key ones. JT, John Taylor, best overall 76th pick, 347, blah, blah, blah. Fred Young was a Seahawks linebacker. He's the backup. I always have to tell the John Taylor story. So we were doing pregame. You may have heard the story, you may not have. We're doing pregame, pre-postgame, and pregame they would always bring in the captain, the honorary captain for that day. And John Taylor was, this is like 2 years ago. So John Taylor was 57 years old. He comes walking into to our little tiny little studio there at Levi's Stadium downstairs at the bottom. And the guy looks great. I mean, guy looks like he's 30. He's in amazing, amazing shape. 10,000 times better than me. I'm embarrassed. I'm looking at him going, dude, you're like 10 years older than me, and you're just in unbelievable shape. So then after we do the interview, we go to break, and we usually go out in the hallway there. There's a little hallway. It's a kind of a landing area, but a little hallway, but it's not big. And we talk to him a little bit. We take a couple of pictures and that we post and everything like that. So we're talking to John, and he's got his family there. Most of the guys, they bring their family and stuff, and they watch the interview, and then they walk out. We're all talking together. And I say to John Taylor, I said, somebody told me you can do a standing backflip. And I didn't mention his age, but I was thinking to myself, at age 57, you can do a standing backflip. And John just, without it hardly even getting out of my mouth, and we're just standing there, and there's this landing area, then there's a hallway. So it's not a lot of space here. And there's a lot of people around, and his family's over here, and there's me and Dennis Brown and Krug and all that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, man, John Taylor, with the words barely out of my mouth, does a backflip, standing backflip. Like, you know, you see like Tyreek Hill or something, or a guy will do after a victory, like they're in victory formation, and a guy will do a backflip behind the play. That's what JT did at 50 freaking 7 years old. It was unbelievable. I'm just standing like in awe. He does, I was like, boom. Like, are you kidding? Dude, amazing athlete. Just an amazing athlete. So best pick at 57 is Taylor. This is easy. Best pick at 82. And this might be the best. Well, other than Brady at 199, this might be the best value pick of all time. Probably Brady at 199, then Joe at 82. But there you go. 15 seasons, 192 games. All decade, two-time, blah, 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 blah. You see all those kind of things. Unbelievable. John Stallworth, nice pick in 74. But this is what's cool about, like I said, Goslin. He goes way back. So Montana, the best 80 at 82. The best at, I skipped one. Hang on. The best at 89 is T.O., 15 seasons, 219. Look at all those numbers. So there you go. Best pick overall. And then 91 is Navarro Bowman. Best pick at 96. This is an awesome pick. Charles Haley, Ron Stone at Dallas. He was a good guard. But anyway, there's Charles Haley at 96. I'm going through these quickly. Michael Carter at 121. Like, you know what's amazing about this is, now there's the Bowmans and there's, you know, all that kind of stuff, but a lot of these picks by the Niners that are being recognized as the best pick ever at their position is the group that won a bunch of Super Bowls. I mean, think of the drafting that the Niners did back in the day, you know, with Joe Montana and you know, you got T.O. in there and Jerry and Ronnie. And I mean, they did this all within like a 20-year period that was unbelievable, maybe 15-year period. Look at that, baby. Dwight Clark, best 249 of all time. And look at the backup. Look at the number two, Linville Elliott, another Niner. So there you go. Nine seasons, 134 games. Dwight Clark, best 249. And get this. I went to 262, and I'm thinking it's got to be Brock Purdy, right? Best 262 has got to be Brock Purdy. Now, Rick Goslin did 1 to 265, right? Nope. It's going to be someday, I think. But Jeff Van Note, Atlanta in 1969, 18 seasons. 246 games. I remember the end of his career is like all gray, and he's playing center. Six Pro Bowls, Ring of Honor, blah, blah, blah. George Martin was an defensive end with the Giants. He was number two. I think when all is said and done, I think that's going to be Brock Purdy's number at 262. He'll be the best. But it's hard to argue right now. Dude played 18 years with six Pro Bowls. You're going to have to wait, Brock, but you'll be number one at 262 at some point. But anyway, I just thought it was a really cool exercise. You might think it's dorky, but Rick Goslin puts in the time and goes pick one to 265 and everything in between, and he went to the best picks of all time. And Rick Goslin's been doing this a long time, and it's not like he went, well, best pick after 1980. I mean, dude, he went back and got the best one. So it's a really cool exercise. All you got to do is Google it, Rick Goslin, best NFL draft picks of all time, and it'll pop up for you. It's really cool. But I showed you the majority of the 49ers. They had the most. And like I said, over most of them, over a certain period of time, and you wonder why they won so many Super Bowls. Because I'm looking at it. I mean, these guys were all on the same team. Dwight Clark, in this era, Dwight Clark, Michael Carter, Charles Haley, Terrell Owens, Joe, John Taylor. I mean, my God, man. Roger Craig, Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott. I mean, they were the best at ever picked that spot. Best ever. Unbelievable. So anyway, really cool exercise. I liked it. You may think it's dorky, but that's where we are on the chalkboard all-time draft. So episode 122, John Lynch will speak today. I will be down there, and I'll give you all the video and all the different stuff. So make sure that you are. In fact, let me plug my phone in. I'm going to need my phone and my iPad today. Very important. I'm at 79%, so I got to make sure that I have that baby working. I'll be down with John Lynch. Certain players will be available as well, so I'll have that for you, and I'll post those things. First OTAs, Brock, Kittle, all those kind of things. They're just gathering, shaking hands, and all that kind of stuff, so I'm not worried about it, and I doubt that they're going to be there. Mason Graham, Todd McShay says he could drop, and I thought to myself, you know what? Given just the love for the physical part of the game in the first round, and teams fall in love with guys and their physical nature, then they start drafting actual football players after the first round. I could see maybe Mason Graham dropping, and the Niners should absolutely grab him if he does. 49ers trades, I told you, it's not all going to be done through the draft, so they're going to have to do some trades, and there are some intriguing names, especially edge guys for the 49ers, and it would not shock me in the slightest if Thibodeau or one of those other names were a Niner, because if I'll tell you this right now, if Abdul Carter is the pick at 3 for the Giants, and 1-2 looks like it's going to be Ward and then Hunter, and then there you go. If you're the Giants, maybe they love Shedeur Sanders and just not talking about it. But if it goes to chalk, then Abdul Carter becomes a Giant, and they've already got Brian Burns, so that means Thibodeau is going to be available. And if they'd give him up for like a fourth rounder or something, now I know they'd have to pay him eventually, but they don't have to pay him this year. I'd do that in a heartbeat, and there's my edge guy. And now I can focus on interior defensive lineman and offensive lineman, and I know this guy can play. Because you're not getting the 7 or 8 starters you need straight out of the draft. They got to make some moves. And I think they will. And we'll talk to John Lynch about that today. All-time draft. I just went through that with you. All right. As far as the Giants are concerned, we're going to do tons more about the 49ers, like I said. But as far as the Giants are concerned, nice win over the Brewers. I think I call this a big series. I know it's early in the year, but the Brewers are the type of team that are going to stay in this race. No matter who they lose every single year, they can lose guys like Corbin Burns and Willie Adames, and it just seems like, and they're still going to stay in things. That's just what the Brewers do. So nice win over the Brewers. Here is Robbie Ray postgame. He was solid. He wasn't great, but he wasn't walking guys all over the park either. Here's Robbie Ray after the game assessing his start.
Good. I felt like my fastball was really good tonight. I think that was the main focus coming into this, is just establishing the fastball. Threw some really good changeups, sliders coming around. I feel like I'm right there. Today was probably about as close as I felt to 21 in a while. So definitely some positives today.
That's great news because, you know, the thing about a guy like Robbie Ray, he's not going to bullshit you after a game. He's not going to say I pitched well if I didn't. He pitched okay. I mean, the final numbers, he goes 5 innings, and he pitched okay. He had going into the game 19 in the third innings and 15 walks. So there was something mechanical going on. But if he says he feels good, if he says this is the closest he's felt to his normal self since before the Tommy John surgery, then I think that is really positive news for the Giants rotation. And as we saw over the weekend, and we talked about it late last week, I said, look, the relievers are going to be fine. I know Walker blew a save, but the relievers are going to be fine. They're going to play good defense. They've got too many defenders to not play good defense on this team. They're stealing a few more bases, although they got caught a couple of times last night, and I hope that doesn't deter them from doing that. But I think they'll play a little bit of an old-school brand and take some extra bases when they can. They're a pretty good base-running team. I think there's a lot of things that they're going to do well. To me, the fact that the starting pitching wasn't off to a good start, I wasn't overly nervous, but there were certainly things in the rotation. So now, since that last Friday, it was like, this rotation better get it together. Logan Webb put out a great outing on Friday. Didn't win. Got beat 2-0, but still, he pitched great. Landon Root was phenomenal on Saturday. Justin Verlander was really, really good on Sunday. And now Robbie Ray is feeling great on Monday. Now, I think he can pitch better, but he says, as a veteran, and he's not going to sit there and lie, it's not lying season for Robbie Ray, as it is for the NFL draft and John Lynch today, but Robbie Ray felt good. So I'm like, okay, that's good enough for me, and that's another spot in the rotation that you're starting to feel good about. Now, having said that, even though Wilmer Flores hit another home run, Even though Jung-Hoo Lee was great again, even though they got great contributions from the offense, or at least good enough, this was the story of the game. Mr. Birdsong, Hayden Birdsong, who came in after Robbie Ray. Take a look.
Got him. Comes back again, and that just died. Got him. Got him. Wow. That'll end the inning.
The kid is special. There's just no doubt about it. And he's pitching a certain role, but don't get it twisted. Whomever starts to struggle within this rotation, there's just no denying this kid. And every time he takes the mound, he looks better and better and better. And you can see by his demeanor, it doesn't surprise him. You know, I told you this before. I talked to him a few times last year. We had him on the patio with Papa and I for, I don't know, 10 minutes or whatever. Super mature guy. Talked to him before we were on the air, because these guys, what happens is Papa's on one side, I'm on another, and then there's an end part of the table and they sit by me. So we had about a 5-minute break, and I just talked to him about, you know, his upbringing and pitching and how he feels. And the guy's like a flatliner, which is great. I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean in a positive way, because he just, nothing seems to get to him. And you see after the mound there, he expects to do these things. His stuff is nasty. He's throwing at 98. He's got an absolute bend. You know, these guys are up there going, what in the hell? This guy's got great stuff, and he's got the mentality to back it up, and he's big, and he knows how to pitch. And I'm not saying that he's a finished, polished product right now, but if somebody slips up in the rotation, this kid's ready. And so to me, Hicks' start tonight is important, just like the others have been important, and they all came through over the last four. But here's the last guy in the rotation. He's got a 6.07 ERA. He had a great first game, at least, you know, to his standards, a great first game. And then from there, has struggled. Now, I know last time out, he went through 7 innings, gave up 5 in the first, and then 6 really solid innings. So based on last impression, you'd say, well, he pitched pretty good last time. I'm not erasing the 5 earned runs in the first inning. I like Jordan Hicks. I'm not anti-Jordan Hicks. And just because I think he's better suited to a 7th inning role where he can throw 102, 103 miles an hour and blow dudes away. And with Duvall and Walker and Rogers and the type of guys they have in that pen, the way that Eric Miller's off to the start, I think they could really have maybe the sport's most dominant bullpen, or damn close to it, with Hicks. But they're going to keep him in the rotation, and I understand that. But if he struggles tonight, I don't know how much longer you can hold off Hayden Birdsong. He's just been that good. And it's not only is his stuff good, it's just the mental makeup. It's that you just saw it right there. The stuff is awesome, but he walks off the mound like, yeah, and what? Like, that's what I'm supposed to do. He's 23 years old. He's ready. So there's going to be an injury at some point. Justin Verlander's 42. Robbie Ray is still fighting back from Tommy John, even though it looks better and better every time he gets out there. There's going to be something that's going to happen. Logan Webb's going to be Logan Webb, and then the rest of the rotation. That's why you need 7, 8, maybe 9 guys, you know, during a season. You might need more. When you really win at a high level, means that you're just going through a rotation, you're not having injuries. But there's going to be an injury. There's going to be an ineffectiveness. I'm watching Jordan Hicks tonight if I'm the Giants, because, as I said, if you want to, first of all, you've got to think as we're going to stay in the divisional race. It's not like me and you where we go, the Dodgers are going to win the division, so they've got to play for a wild card. That's not how they're thinking. They're thinking to themselves, okay, we don't have a whole lot of room for a margin for error here. Padres interdivision, Dodgers interdivision, Diamondbacks interdivision. We don't have a lot of room for error here. That's what they're thinking first. They'll go wild card a little bit later, and you and I will probably overanalyze that at some point. But reality is that they're thinking division first, and they don't think they're not going to cede anything to the Dodgers. So Birdsong is going to be in there sooner rather than later, I think. He's just that good. And once he gets a spot in the rotation, I don't think he's going to give it up. So we'll see. And I've talked about the depth, you know, down at AAA and Harrison and all these different guys. That's fine. But right now, it's becoming apparent to me that it's cool that Birdsong is in the pen, and what he did last night was great, you know. But to me, Hayden Birdsong is going to be a starter in this rotation. So if I'm Jordan Hicks tonight, I better be good, because I'm not going to wait a long time if I'm the Giants. If Jordan Hicks isn't great tonight, if he's a 5 and fly and they struggle, Hayden Birdsong's sitting there, and he might be next in the rotation. I'm just saying. And you could put Hicks in the pen, and all of a sudden, or he could be a long guy. Hicks would be a great long guy. So anyway, we'll see. I'm not kicking him out of the rotation yet, but Hayden Birdsong is special. That's all I'm saying. Hicks start, I mentioned. Birdsong, I just mentioned. Warriors. I'll mention Warriors today. There's nothing new, really. And I don't just talk things to talk things. There's nothing new on the Warriors front. I said what I said yesterday. I really think that the rest is such a huge deal for the Warriors. Getting from Tuesday to Sunday was massive. Jimmy Butler talked about it after the game. I played that for you yesterday. now getting the days from Sunday. So yesterday, I'm sure they got together, light shoot around, watch some film. Today, well, probably it being Tuesday, they'll do a little bit more film, and then they'll get on the floor and they'll execute some things, some adjustments that they want to make, some things they think that Houston will adjust to. Tomorrow before the game, and not a lot of times, they probably won't do a shoot around the game day of because they're a veteran team. So, I mean, they're going to get off their feet a lot, and they're not going to go through hard practices or anything. You don't need to do that at this point. You're basically looking at things and saying, look, this is what they did. I mean, it's going to be half of their discussions are going to be about offensive reboundings. Other things are going to be about trying to defend Şengün a little bit better, which is going to be difficult because they're just at a size disadvantage as far as Draymond Green. Things that Houston may change, they're going to try to get off Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet early. I can guarantee it. They're going to run plays for him. They're going to set screens. They're going to try to get those two guys early because Şengün can get his stuff anytime. It's getting confidence to a young guy like Jalen Green that you can do this at the playoff level. Fred VanVleet knows he can, but still, I wouldn't be shocked if there was a couple of things where they said, okay, let's get VanVleet going. He sees the first couple go through. He's a different dude. He was 4-19, 2-13 from three. Jalen Green had 3 points at the half, scored 7 for the game. Houston can't win this series like that, so they know that. Executing better in the half court, Houston's going to try to, try to run a little bit more, even kick the pace up a touch. So those kind of things, we'll see. Defending Curry, they're going to try to find different ways. But again, at this point of his career, Steph's seen it all. They'll probably try to be more physical with Steph. I was kind of surprised in game one that Dylan Brooks wasn't more of an irritant on Draymond Green. I might see that. Stuff like that. But, that's what the Warriors are working on. But the big key to me is they got from Tuesday to Sunday. They get from Sunday to Wednesday. And this is my thought on this whole thing is this is the series right here. If they win game two against Houston, even though VanVleet's a veteran, even though Steven Adams is a veteran, even though Dylan Brooks is a veteran, they're going to win this series if they win this game. They're going to be up 2-0. They're going to be going home. Maybe even if they split at home, they're up 3-1 on Houston at that point. I don't think a young team like Houston with guys like Şengün and Amen Thompson and Jalen Green, who hadn't played in the playoffs before game one, I just don't think that they're mentally tough enough to come back from that kind of a deficit. You just lost two games at home. What are you thinking when you're getting on the plane? We can't win this series. Because at that point, if they win on tomorrow night, at that point, you're going to have to beat the Warriors for the next five? You're going to beat the Warriors for the next five. I mean, I don't think they can beat them for the next six, which is what they have to do. But you're not beating them for the next five. There's no way. So game two, for all intents and purposes, Houston doesn't win. This series is over. And the Warriors are not going to be one of those teams that says, we got game one. We're cool. It's all right, man. We don't need to get both. Steve Kerr right now is pedal to the metal because, like I said, what's key for the Warriors? Rest. So if they win game two, Houston starts to go, they start to kind of get the golf clubs out a little bit. And then let's say they can win this series, I don't know, 4-1. All of a sudden now the Lakers and the T-Wolves, I think that's a 7-game series. And I don't think the Lakers are out of it. I'm looking at these polls and everybody are like, the odds now are that I should have brought this on the show today. I was looking at the new odds that came out yesterday from Vegas. The Timberwolves now are favored to win that series. I wouldn't go that far. But the Timberwolves are favored to win that series. Right now, the Warriors are favored to win this series at about a 75% clip. Oh, I think it's 75.3%. Again, I'm not falling into a trap that the Warriors are absolutely going to win this series. It's going to be a fight. I think it's going to be a fight. I think Houston probably wins game two. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be physical. I think the Warriors win the series in six. But if they could get it done in five and get some rest before they took on the winner of the Lakers and the T-Wolves, massive, just massive to get these guys off their feet at their age. So it's huge. The Dallas GM, Nico Harrison. All right. So you and I have talked about this before. I told you this. I worked in Dallas in high school football. Where I lived, it was a place called South Lake Carroll High School, which is what De La Salle is kind of the equivalent. It's everything. All the former Cowboy Stars kids went there. They have a 60,000 seat stadium. It's unbelievable. So I lived in a place called Grapevine, which is on the border of South Lake, Grapevine are border each other. So on Friday night, all the people are watching a football game. And so my wife and I, we could go anywhere we wanted in Dallas on a Friday night at about 7 o'clock. I'm not kidding you. It was empty. And we weren't from there, so it was awesome. And then at about 9:30, everything's packed, and we were out of there by then. It's just all about football. So Friday night is high school football everywhere. Saturday is about, you know, Texas, Texas A&M, TCU, like Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Like everything is college football on Saturday. Everything. And then the Cowboys and obviously the NFL. Texas is all about football. Dallas is all about football. Metroplex is what they call it. Just all about football. If the Mavericks are going to make any kind of a dent in any of it, and it's a small dent, even with Mark Cuban, even with the success that they've had, even when that we win an NBA championship, I was there. I was the program director of ESPN 103.3 in Dallas when the We Believe Warriors beat the Mavericks, who had won 67 games, and Don Nelson had the great plan and all those kind of things. I was on the other side of that and saw it. And so that's why Mark Cuban ran into our studio. I've told you that when he came back from, you know, that loss and all that kind of stuff, and they got sweating, he came running into the studio, and, you know, because he knew that was his chance to get on the map a little bit with Dallas area sports fans, because it's all about football. So with that as the backdrop, I told you right when that trade got made for Luka Doncic, before any of this came out, I said it was a massively stupid trade, not only from a standpoint of this guy's a building block for 10 years, Luka Doncic, and you just gave him to the Lakers, but I said the reaction in Dallas is going to be unbelievable. And the reason I know that is because when I was there, Dirk Nowitzki was beloved by Texas and Dallas sports fans, but he was the reason why. And it, you know, Mark Cuban was part of it, and they had some good players around him, but they just loved Dirk, and he drew people to games. And so I saw Doncic as the same kind of player. So when they traded him, I went, I'm sorry, Anthony Davis is not going to fill that void, and it's going to be all football, and they are going to be pissed. I told you the next day, having lived there, I'm like, I'm telling you, this is going to be terrible for them to lose Luka. They're going to go bonkers there. They're going to go bananas. You have to have a star player, that kind of a guy. They really related to him. I knew it because I have a lot of people that I know that still work there. And then the GM yesterday at his final press conference, this is what he said about the Luka Doncic trade. He said he had no idea that he was so beloved.
I did know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level, but really.
Okay, let me stop it right there. I'd fire him on the spot. Now, the Adelsons, who were out of Las Vegas, they don't know either. They're not Mark Cuban, and they should have asked Mark Cuban about it, did not. Mark Cuban claims that he was as surprised as anybody, and he has no reason to lie about this whole thing. I just don't know, as the general manager of your team, no matter what sport, how you could be so, I don't know, out of touch with the fan base to not know the way that they're going to react. It's kind of like being the general manager of the Warriors and not knowing what would happen if you traded Steph Curry, or to a lesser extent, a Draymond Green. Like, they're just, those guys are built into the fabric of the franchise. Now, Luka didn't win championships, but last year he drug them, he put them on their back, and they went to the NBA Finals. And you don't think that this guy in a state dominated by football, that there would be a big backlash like that? You're out of touch, bro. Like, if I'm the owner, I walk right over to the podium at that point and say you're fired. And then I'd say, I'll take all the further questions. Like, how do you not know that? How do you not know in your market what fan reaction is going to be? It's not everything. I told you this many, 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 many times, and lots of people have said this, but it was the first time I heard it was from Jerry Sloan when I was covering the Utah Jazz 25, 26 years ago. I asked him a question about fan reaction, and he looked at me, and he had, you know, he smoked Camel Studs or whatever they were, Marlboro Reds maybe. And he turned to me with his cigarette breath that blew me away and said, if you listen too much to the fans, young man, you're going to be sitting with them. And I was a young man at the time, so he was right. He said, young man, if you listen too much to the fans, you're going to be sitting with them. Well, it's the same thing. I mean, Nico Harrison's going, well, I can't worry about what the fans think, but you can't be oblivious to it as well. They can't dictate the trades. It's not a democracy. You're running things, but you've got to know what the reaction is going to be like. And this isn't going to end this year. And he said further on that, you know, we think it's a championship team with Anthony Davis when everybody's healthy and Kyrie and blah, 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 blah. You don't get it. Like, you just don't get it. You don't understand roster construction. You don't understand there has to be some sort of hey, if we trade this guy, we might be in trouble as an organization. And not only that, it's just a dumb trade, period. If Mike Dunleavy said that, you know, we traded Steph Curry, we had no idea what the fan reaction was going to be. You got to know that. And I'd fire the guy on the spot. I mean, I think it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life, that you didn't know what the fan reaction was going to be. Wow. That is crazy. NBA poll. Let me pop this up for you. What time do we got? Because I got to jump out of here pretty soon. NBA poll. These are really interesting to me because these are players. These are the players. And Tolbert has told me this many, many times, Bay Area Sports Collective, Tom Tolbert Show. Tolbert's told me this many times, when it comes to all-star voting and the such, players don't generally care. So I don't know how much effort they put into these. I don't know how many players they talk to, but it's the NBA players poll that the Athletic puts out every single year. So this is interesting. I'm only going to be a couple that are related to the Warriors. So who is the league's most overrated player? Tyrese Halliburton. That one's kind of interesting. Rudy Gobert. A lot of people, I see that. Trae Young, I could see that. Jimmy Butler is the fourth. Is that right? One, two, three, fourth most overrated player. 5.5% of the people, of the players, excuse me. Draymond Green. What is that? Sixth tied. If you think Draymond Green's overrated, you just don't understand the game, which I think what happens is a lot of people just don't like Draymond Green, so they put him as overrated. He's not overrated. It just means that if you're, then you're just pissed and you don't like him. Jimmy Butler's interesting to me. Jimmy Butler has not been overrated since he joined the Warriors, so I don't know when they did this poll. I think Embiid is overrated. I think Brooks is overrated. George, at this point of his career, is overrated. I don't think that Hero's overrated. I think Hero's underrated. I think Drew Holiday is underrated. But that's interesting on Jimmy Butler to me, because since he's become a member of the Warriors, he couldn't be more valuable, let alone being overrated. So I wouldn't agree with that. But again, these are the players they know. Halliburton wouldn't seem to be, but by a wide margin, Halliburton is the most overrated according to the league. That's interesting. So there's that. And then here's a positive, and this is positive for the future of the Warriors, because being the best organization would mean that players would want to play for you. Who is the league's best organization? Look at that. 22% of the players in the league, or at least those who were polled, said the Warriors were the best organization, then the Thunder, the Celtics, the Clippers, the Heat. But how about that as the Warriors at 22%? And look, one of the things that Joe Lacob did that was so smart was, and I think, because what do you know about the organization? Well, there's going to be word of mouth around the league, so that's part of it. They've been good for so long. That's definitely part of it. But what the players see physically, literally, I should say, is that they see the arena. And so it's a brand new spanking arena. They love it. And one of the reasons why Boston is the opposite, there's a number of things in sports where they give the other team a bad clubhouse or a small clubhouse or a small locker room, I should say, and players resent it. But one of the things that Joe Lacob did, and it was a talking point when Chase Center opened, because if you remember, it's the eternal pursuit of Giannis, was that Giannis Antetokounmpo came here and said, man, the locker rooms here are amazing and the facilities here are amazing. So what the Warriors have done, one of the smart things that they've done is, and this is to try to recruit players, I'm sure part of it, is that they've given the other team amazing facilities. So when you come in here, they're not trying to give you this terrible locker room or the lack of facilities. It's upper end high class, maybe the best in the league, probably the best in the league. So now teams come in, and what's their lasting impression? It's how they were treated personally. They hear word of mouth. Hey, this team sucks, or this team does this, or this team's cheap in this way, or whatever. I'm sure they hear good things about the Warriors, because that's how Joe Lacob is. Everything is going to be done first class with the Warriors. That's what they do. So I'm sure they hear that word of mouth. But with everybody, this isn't just a sports thing. This is a human thing. And you're going to use your experience as how you're going to react to something. And the Warriors treat the opposition well. And the facilities are great. And they did that on purpose. They gave the other team a great locker room and great facilities and everything like that, because they know, hey, if we're going to recruit you someday, if we're treating you, the opposition who we want to beat like that, how do you think we're treating our own players? So part of that is word of mouth. Part of that is, and the majority of it, I think, is what they see personally, because that's what sticks in your head. Like, that's great that they treat Steph Curry well. Of course they do. Or Draymond Green, or all these guys winning championships for him. Yeah, I get it. But now you look at it and it's like, oh, look at this. Look at the way that they treat us, let alone their own players. So you could see that. So that's a big thing, the way that the Warriors are perceived. And again, it's 137 votes, 137 players. So, you know, if another 137 were cast, would it be different? Probably not. I mean, that's a good sample size. So that's good for the Warriors. So that's the NBA poll. All right, I haven't been out in the comments line in quite a while. Do I have anything else video-wise that I need to show you? I don't think so today. Showed you a Birdsong, showed you Robbie Ray, showed you Nico Harrison today. Let me make sure that I don't have anything before I get out that I forgot about. I gave you the Schefter rumblings. I gave you – oh, this is the other thing. I did mention this. Let me just go back to the Niners for a second. Matt Barrels. The first inflection point in Brock Purdy's contract, let's call it a situation for now, is tomorrow. That is today. So anyway, who blinks? I'm not worried about it. We can continue to talk about that, but I'm not worried about it. Not yet. Could I be at some point? Yeah, absolutely. Not yet, though. All right. What does everybody think? We've gone through a lot today, but like I said, I got to get jumping to go down to 49ers HQ today. So I just want to make sure that as we've gone over a lot with the 49ers, draft is 54 hours away, something like that. And again, make sure you tune in. Wednesday, make sure you tune in. Not only will I have the show for you tomorrow, but remember, we do all Warriors postgame shows. So we'll do today's show, and then I'll put a bunch of stuff up both on YouTube and at JohnLundUnleashed.com plus X. So what I'll do on JohnLundUnleashed.com in the next couple of days, let me explain that before I hit up to the chat line. So tomorrow I'll have it's kind of a mock, but kind of not, where I'll give you a few players at each position that I like or each draft point for the 49ers. So I'm going to write that. I'm in the midst of writing that. And then what I'll do is I'll also post at JohnLundUnleashed.com a video of John Lynch, and I'll explain each answer at JohnLundUnleashed.com. So I'll do that, and we'll release that and put a video with it. So keep your alerts on at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube for that one. So we got a lot of stuff coming up, just to let you know. And then tomorrow's show, then tomorrow night, we'll do a post-game show for the Warriors and Rockets game number two. So as always, a lot of stuff going on right now. What are people saying? Anything on your mind in regards to, I went through Niners draft, went through the Giants win, Love and Bird song, Hicks start tonight's big, Warriors, Dallas GM is dumb, in the NBA poll. So that's what we've done today. Just so you know. Let's see here. Oh, did I miss a super? Oh, I got a couple of supers here. Sorry, my bad. Pine Needle says, Purdy is there. Read the chat. He's participating. Oh, okay. Good deal. Thank you very much for that. I wasn't reading the chat, so you guys are on it. Purdy is there. Good morning. Will the grill be set for Friday? You know what, Fuji? Yes. And I apologize, and I owe you one. I told you I would have the grill cam up, and I was running around on Friday, and I didn't have time. So the camera, I'm pointing here. You don't know. It's to this corner here, and then it goes into the three grills that I have. I have a flat top. I have a smoker and a toker, and I have just regular grill to like throw burgers on. So I will have the cam, and we will have probably, like I said, burgers for Friday's game for the bottom of the pint on Friday. So I will do that because I told you I would have it last time, and then I didn't. Let me check this Brock thing. Not that I don't believe you, I do. I just want to see what the deal is here. That's very Brockish, by the way. Which, here's what that tells you. Let me just give you a little insight here. And you probably know this, and you guys in the chat are probably saying this, but what it tells you is, in opposite of all these other people who are saying, oh my God, we got to panic about Brock. If he wasn't close, he wouldn't be here. So that's what I think. Everybody's doing suggestions here. Brock Purdy present, but George Kittle is no show as offseason workouts begin. Okay, there you go. What that tells you is very, very simple. That Brock Purdy's deal, I believe, that means he's getting closer to a deal. And I don't think if they didn't believe that Brock's deal was close on either side, Brock would not participate. Because if you're his agent, you'd be like, we don't want him to get hurt. But again, there's not a lot of work on the field. It's just they're getting together, they're shaking hands, they're kissing babies. So it does make sense that he would be there. George Kittle doesn't have to be here. He's in Nashville. He's got the barn. He's lifting weights. He's working out. You're seeing him at Predator games. George Kittle's fine. He's a veteran. I'm not worried about it. It's going to get done. Everyone's going to panic, but it's fine. Okay. So about 20 minutes ago, everybody posted all this kind of stuff. Brock Purdy did show up. See, here's Diana Rossini. I already told you this, but with Brock Purdy showing up, start of OTAs between San Francisco and QB, San Francisco and its QB are in a good place. So there you go. They're moving in a positive direction. I already told you that. By him going there, that's what that means. George Kittle, he wouldn't have to show up anyway. So, yeah, it's all over the place. Sorry. You know, this is like an hour ago Schefter said this. My bad. So there you go. All right. I should be watching things. I should be reading your chats. You know what you're doing. I'm an idiot. All right. So George didn't show up. Doesn't surprise me. Brock Purdy did. Doesn't surprise me. He won't be on the field for anything. That's why he can show up in this one. But it does signal to me that things are in a positive direction. And I've talked about that a lot. So there you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for those. Thank you, Fuji, for that. I will make sure I'm set up on Friday. I got plenty of time. And Pine Needle, thank you very much. One of many to say that, hey, idiot, read the internet. So I did that. So we're all good. All right, here's what I'm going to do today. I will give you a bunch of stuff from John Lynch and from 49ers HQ. I'll have a bunch of fancy videos. I'll post from down there. I'm going to bring my big backpack that's got all my gear to do shows. I'll tell you this. I may do this now that I think about it. I have a big backpack full of stuff that I can go live from anywhere. And if it is good enough, if there's enough good information, which I think there will be, please get those alerts on at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Because what I'll do is I'm going to do a YouTube exclusive. I'll just commit to it right now rather than hemming and hawing about it. I'll do a YouTube exclusive from down there at 49ers HQ. I'll find a place to do it, even if it's in a corner somewhere, even if it's outside, whatever. I'll find a place so I can get an internet connection. And even if it's a 10 or a 15-minute show, I'll recap everything for you from 49ers HQ. Let's make a deal, because I'm cutting the show short today. I feel like I owe you, so that's what we'll do. So later on today, whenever things finish, noon is when John Lynch will speak or is expected to speak. There's going to be players there. So clearly, if Brock is down there, Brock is going to be available. Everybody's going to run after Brock. So I bet we get some Brock, so stay tuned for that. We will get some John Lynch, and we'll have other players, but I guarantee they'll make Brock available because everybody wants to talk Brock. Hey, Brock, about the contract. Brock, about the contract. Brock, about the contract. Brock, about the contract. So that's what it'll be. So stay tuned. Keep the alerts on. I can't tell you exactly what time. I'm thinking like in the 2-ish range probably, but it could be before, it could be after. So I'll get all my gear together and we'll hit the road with it, and I'll give you more stuff from 49ers HQ. So like you said, we do have a Brock sighting. We do not have a Kittle signing. Not worried about Kittle. Not at all. Not at all worried about Kittle. It'll get done. Let's see. What else do we got today? Yeah, look, I apologized. I said you were right. I was wrong. You are smart. I am stupid. I told you. I said. So here's what we'll do. We'll have live coverage from 49ers HQ later on today. Other stuff that we needed to hit today, I think we hit everything. Anything else that I may have missed, lesson learned again, go to the chat line. The people know what they're talking about. I already apologized, man. You got to say that it accepted or not. Of course. What else do we got? I guess that's it. Great to see everybody today, as always, for a shortened Tuesday edition of the show. Hope everybody had a great job. Read the super. I did. I was late. I agree 100%. Good job. I was just cranking through everything today really, really fast. And you got me on that one. So thank you. Let's see. John on a roll still doesn't know Brock is there. Yeah, I was kind of rolling through things today because I had to roll fast and get down there. So like I said, we will give you a bunch of good stuff today. Make sure, and I used to go to that Chick-fil-A all the time, but I'm on a freaking diet, Steve. It sucks. I know the exact one you're talking about. I stop there all the time. I have a great story about that one, by the way. Going down for the national championship between Clemson and Alabama. Trevor Lawrence, of course, versus Bama. And I stopped by that Chick-fil-A because I used to all the time in Santa Clara, right by the stadium. And apparently there must have been some kind of a, you know, they do those packages. There's a hotel right in that parking lot. I'm not sure what it is, maybe a Hyatt. And it was packed with Clemson fans. It must have been a Clemson thing because, you know, both teams are from down south. And the people, you would have thought that was the most popular restaurant in the world. There was people streaming outside. There's normally a really long line, but I thought there was a really long line, so I went in. And the reason I did it is because at the time, Rod Brooks and Bob Fitzgerald were talking about Chick-fil-A and how they wanted Chick-fil-A. And so I thought, well, I'll stop. It was the most packed Chick-fil-A I've ever seen. Everyone was wearing Clemson gear. People were ordering 4 and 5 and 6, 8 sandwiches at a time. It was unbelievable. I was thinking, I'm not going to be able to get a sandwich. And they were going bananas, like just going crazy, getting ready for Bama. And they ended up obviously beating Alabama. But it was the most packed I've ever seen that place, and it was all Clemson fans. Crazy. Let's see what else. Anything else? All right, great stuff from everybody. I really appreciate hanging out. I apologize. I did not look at your supers and get that earlier from Brock. Everybody knows I should. Yeah, it's good. 49er Brian. You know what I would do, 49er Brian, just for the heck of it? You know what's the way to do it, the hack on it all? If you'll pay the extra few bucks for DoorDash, just, if there's one by you, just DoorDash it. Just DoorDash it. Because you're going to sit in a line that's like 20 minutes long. It's not quite the length of a In-N-Out burger line, but it's long. It's worth it. I would get the spicy. I like the spicy one. The waffle fries are amazing. They do really good macaroni and cheese. But the spicy sandwich, I think that's the go-to. Also, the nuggets are really good. And strips, anything that's like chicken, don't be healthy. Don't be like, well, like I'm on a diet. Like, I'm not going to go there and get the grilled chicken sandwich. Like, I know that, or the wrap, or a salad or something. It's good, but you got to go. If you're going to go, just go for it. And the spicy sandwich with the waffle fries, you just do the, like, even the side of mac and cheese. What else? The shakes are really good there. Amazing. So anyway, yeah, just you know, and if you're going to Chick-fil-A, just go for it. And like I said, DoorDash is a few extra bucks, but then you don't have to wait in the line, and they deliver it to your freaking house. That's worth it to me. Anyway, all right. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Appreciate, like I said, being called out. Much appreciated. I will make it up to you later today as I head down to 49ers HQ. Remember, please, before I get out of here, remember my good friend, Dr. Riopel, as you can see right there, Riopel Sports Medicine Stem Cell Treatment, as you see right there, Dr. Riopel. Come out to San Ramon and see me. He is absolutely great, Dr. Riopel. Not only the stem cell, which you can see there, but also as I'm doing the low T, the testosterone treatments, quick blood test procedure, which only takes a few minutes, and then you're set for like 3-4 months at a time. You only have to do it a few times a year, and you're going to feel amazing like I do. Dr. Riopel is absolutely awesome, does all sorts of other procedures as well. But my wife and I, for a long time, she's been doing the stem cell procedures with Dr. Riopel, and I've been doing the low T. It's been absolutely great. So make sure that you check out my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel in San Ramon. Absolutely great. Tell him that I sent you over. Not only does he do those treatments, but tons more. So check him out online, and you can see all the great treatments that Dr. Riopel does. Please make sure you subscribe to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, because that show later today is going to be exclusive to YouTube. I'm going to put it nowhere else. So exclusive to YouTube on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective. It's going to be just on those two channels. So I know that we're on Facebook right now and Twitch and X and Instagram. It's only going to be on YouTube, YouTube only show this afternoon to give you the latest of what's going on with John Lynch and the 49ers and select players. I'm sure Brock Purdy is going to speak. So Brock is going to say some things. So I'll do that. We're going to post later today and mock drafts and everything like that at johnlundunleashed.com. So make sure that you check that out. And again, subscribe. Please give us the like button. Hit us up on John Lund Unleashed and do it there. Subscribe. Get those alerts on so you know when we're going to go live later on today from Santa Clara. Bay Area Sports Collective, make sure that you're subscribed there as well. Everybody have a wonderful Tuesday, and we'll talk to you later this afternoon from...
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!